when I look at people, I always ask the question. I say, man, tell me what Nike stands for. They said, oh, Inc., that's easy, just do it. I said, tell me what Adidas stands for. Oh, Inc., that's easy, man, impossible is nothing. I said, now tell me what you stand for. When people look at you, do they think excuses? When people look at you, do they think victory? When people look at you, do they think that's a person that's going to give me everything they got, not on some days, but on every day, and it's not going to be predicated upon if I feel like it, because I think we all know if we only worked on the days when we felt like it, none of us would get much accomplished. I'm talking about the real level of commitment. Not the commitment that falls in line if everything goes right. I'm speaking of the commitment that says, I am going to stay true to what I said I would do long after the mood that I've set it in has left.
See, most people, ladies and gentlemen, are stoppable. Most people, all you have to do is tell them no. All you have to do is make it inconvenient for them. All you have to do is make it difficult for them, and they're stuck. See, when you go to get your goal, don't think that all you have to do is think positive and everything's going to work out okie-dokie for you. When you go to get your goal, you are sending a telegram to Murphy's Law to visit you personally.
You thought you was just gonna have a dream and a goal, and you were just gonna wake up and just walk into the sunset. You're like, dream, boom. It don't work like that. You have a dream, and then life punks you. Life punks you and say, do you really want this? You gonna lose friends. Do you really want this? Do you really want this? Cousins gonna abandon you. People that you used to be like this with gonna think you bougie and don't wanna deal with you. It's a part of it, but I paid too much. If I was gonna quit, I would've quit in the abandoned building when I wanted to commit suicide and take my life. I should've quit when I heard my voice say, your mama don't want you, your daddy don't want you, take your life. I got through that, so why I'm gonna quit over F on a grade? Come on. And so I'm telling y'all, you have come too far to quit now. You have invested too much to quit now. You have lost too much to quit now. Don't cry about it. Don't whine about it. Get a reward for your pain.
And so by being committed to everything that I started, I finished it. It built a certain type of spirit. It built a certain type of mentality. It built a certain type of individual. And so now I couldn't quit even if I wanted to. I couldn't stop even if I wanted to. I had too much sweat equity in my life and everything that I was doing.
You're too close to quit now. You gotta take another lap. You gotta take another lap, because you never know. This might be the one. You can't stop because you're tired. You can't stop because you got your feelings hurt. You gotta take another lap. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. You're gonna make it, you're gonna do it. You got an unstoppable fire. Come on, take another lap. Don't you stop, don't stop walking.
It's time for the Orlando Lion's Den podcast with your hosts, JJ, Eddie, Cleon, and Alex Brown.
This is Cleon One. I'll be your host tonight, and I am joined here by my partners in crime, Eddie the Commish. How you doing, brother?
I'm here, man. I'm in mourning still. I've been wearing black every day. We got some good news today from the club to help bolster my mood, but you know, that sunk feeling when the whistle blew is still there, man. Still there. So here we are, but we got a lot to talk about, but I'm sad.
Alex Ryder, my man, how's it going? How you doing, brother? Any better than Eddie over here?
I've been through quite a few of the stages of mourning. I've lashed out at people. I've bargained. There's been some mourning. There's been some sadness. There were sad naps that were taken, but like Eddie said, all this good news that came out of the club in the past 48 hours since we lost out after our first journey into the MLS Cup playoffs has made the fall from grace a little, it's just made it a little tiny bit better and made me really, really excited for the fact that the time distance between our last match in 2020 and our first match in 2021 is the smallest it has ever been. And that makes me really happy. So there's hope. And as the Star Wars character Jyn Erso once said, everything is built on hope. So.
Okay, I didn't think we were going to take a Star Wars turn, but here we are.
That was deep.
I'm a nerd at heart. What can I say? We spent the entire pre-show talking about Funko Pops, so.
That's true. It's just a fact. Well, us two, Cleon was just thinking, well, look at these two nerds. But you know what?
Rolling his eyes at our
that's okay.
Geekiness.
No, but Star Wars. I just don't do the toys part of it.
I got you. Guys, I got to ask you guys something up front. Well, now that we started, Cleon, did you wear the appropriate underwear for this match? Is that why we lost? You didn't have red, white, and blue? Or
I tried to get the closest I could.
With dark blue,
and
at least?
The closest I had was just a navy blue and gray. It wasn't correct. I didn't have it in my arsenal, bro.
Get the Apollo. There had to be some gag store. We could have got the Apollo Creed,
It needs to be out the pack, bro.
I got you. Alex, did you manscape it? Manscape skeevies, undies?
I did once again, it didn't work for me. But for those who do want to have those uncomfortable undies, support for Orlando Lions Den comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. And I must say, I was sad, but I was at least comfortable.
Nice.
Hey, don't forget that code.
Oh, yeah, the code Lion's Den.
By code Lion's Den for 20% discount.
And free shipping.
Yeah, and free shipping. And look, all jokes aside, you know, you guys ever take one of those showers where you want to cry, but you don't want to know where your tears start and where they end? I had one of those. And Manscaped had sent us free body wash. That stuff's great. It's popular. It's very good. It's effective. And so it's not just, you know, puns. They have just stuff that everybody can use every day, like stuff to clean your face and your body.
It's not just for sad showers and sad naps. It's also for happy times when you just want to feel clean and wonderful
and fresh.
Amazing victory.
And speaking of fresh, there was some fresh news today, right?
Can I get to my other sponsors, buddies?
Yeah, go ahead. I was trying to do, Alex had that great segue. I was trying to do one too.
Casey Sports Bar in Heathrow, Tuga Landscaping, hit up JJ. And Accurate Mortgage, that's Leo. Everybody knows Leo and the Gonzalez sisters.
Yeah.
Hit up Accurate Mortgage. All right, let's get right into it, man.
We can forget one, Field Turf, Champions League. It was on again.
Field Turf.
Field Turf USA. They most of the
top 16.
Yeah, there you go. And, yeah, Liverpool uses Field Turf at Anfield, the little blend. And most of the training facilities, especially in these colder places, use Field Turf. So we appreciate you guys. And, let's go.
All right, let's get to it. It was Heartbreak Hotel at Exploria Stadium versus the New England Revolution. Oh, man. What went wrong here, man? What went wrong? You could point to a whole bunch of different things. You could point to our captain. You could point to Nani. You could point to Mauricio. You could point to Yuri. You could point to any of our vets. You could point to our youngins, man. What went wrong here? Or did just nothing go right? How about you, Alex?
I've been holding on to this since the final whistle. I think we lost this match the moment Rowan was sent off in the previous match when we didn't appeal, which we would have lost anyway. We really missed him in defense and in transition. We had nothing going. No one had his speed. It just was not the same. And between that, the very early goals that we gave up to New England and the complete mental collapse of Luis Nani and that transitioned into the red card for Perea was it just spread through the entire side to the point where even the Bears' very heartfelt goal wasn't enough. It all cascaded from there. So that's, we'll get more into it, but Eddie, what do you think?
You might as well just roll right into it, man. Cause it's the elephant in the room. Yeah. Right into it.
Eddie, what does Eddie think first?
Yeah.
And then we'll get to that elephant.
Yeah, for sure. And, it was frustrating. Now I picked us to win. I think we had the ability, the squad to win it all. That I think it was like a shoe-in, right? Like Seattle's like, we should really win right now, right? I didn't think that. So I'm not mad that we lost per se, right? This is a successful season by all accounts. This is remarkable what we achieved, right? And I just don't like how we lost, man. We're down like suckers. We lost. We beat ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I meant to say this last week that there was a 30-minute spell where we lost composure against New York. And Gadiese saved us and pulled us out. And I meant to say last week, if we lose composure, who is going to bail us out? And the composure snowball just kept going in the wrong direction, just kept going. Gravity took it down, 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 down. Gadiese was not there to save us this time. Not that Rowe could have done anything really about those, but there wasn't anybody there to bail us out or kind of undo it. Now, you know, with Nani, there comes a trade-off. You're going to get passion. You're going to get energy. You're going to get, you know, that fire. But there's a downside to it. You know, anytime there's a fire, fire can consume things in a positive way and let set the team ablaze and get them going and take over like you did against Minnesota, etc. Sometimes it can kind of burn things down. Sometimes it's on the coach to kind of, you know, figure that out and neuter that a little bit or put a wet blanket on it or make some changes. So Oscar has something to answer to a little bit there too, obviously. And then Mauricio, I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, he pulled off an amazing tackle earlier in the match where he tackled and kind of hooked it and picked, you know, just stood right up like a pop-up slide in baseball. And it looked like he was going for that. Like the ball was loose when he started his Cobra Kai sweep the leg. And then, but by the time the dude got there, I mean, it looked like, you know, Ryan Shorecross did, you know, breaking Aaron Ramsey's leg. It was just, or whoever did it from Stoke, who cares? It's Stoke. But no offense, K. Rollins, still love you. But it was a blatant red. But we saw the composure in the last match. Yes, it didn't get kicked out for that. I don't think that was a composure thing. But Juan, there's no reason for that. There's no reason for what he did. And then I think there was just so much almost us against the world, Orlando versus everybody kind of backfired almost because we were so, so tense from watching out, keeping our head on a swivel for a screw job, right? For a pro, for a Nani red card that got rescinded, that any sign of that, it's like all the bad calls, the rescinded red cards, the tedious yellow card for Gadiese, you know, Rurant getting stepped on and shoved in the face, and then, you know, them losing control, pro losing control, that led to that overreaction by Juan in the first place, right? There's randoms from New York City fall down, they get no call. Nani gets elephant humped on the sideline and gets no call, and he's Nani. And it's stuff like that, it set off this just kind of explosion, and we lost control. But this time, you know, the Revs were more clinical. There was no Gadiese to save the day. And I think the other people didn't step up either. So that's what I felt. So it's not that we lost. During the match, I was sad during it, but I was resigned to once we were down 2-0, that's probably going to be a loss. We don't look right. And then, you know, that helped a little bit. But then it sunk in later. The sadness came in and the sad shower and me eating fried chicken from a place that smelled like narcotics, which made it extra delicious. All of that made the sad go away a little bit, but I still was sitting there with the thought that, man, the Revs ain't nothing good. NYC, if Wafaga Yesen made us pay, would have made us pay for all of that lack of composure. The Revs, they got gifted three goals, basically, three freebies. And they weren't good. We should have beat the Revs. I'm not impressed by them one bit. That's what I'm bothered by. And we have gotten players on purpose. I've brought this up before. We've gotten players who've played in big tournaments and big matches on purpose. That is how we scouted and built a team. And that's smart. There's nothing wrong with it. That's how we got this far. But this is not the time for that to unravel. And the people who played in big games, bigger games, Champions League, got their team, like Mauricio Pereira, to the Champions League, played in all kinds of tournaments, international stuff, this and that, big cups in their countries, like, they weren't there to pull us out from this meltdown this time. And the team was built to prevent collapses in high pressure, to thrive in high pressure, and it didn't do that. So that's what's frustrating. That had to be frustrating for the people who helped build the team together, because we had too much veteran leadership on this team for that to have happened that way, and a veteran coach. And that's the part that got to me.
We beat ourselves, and that was the central theme of both issues. The only difference was we kept our composure enough to play through 30 minutes of extra time last week, and we didn't, and no one from the coach all the way down to the bench players didn't keep their composure, and we let the fear, we let the anger from, and let's be very frank about what you said, Eddie. The first 45 minutes of that match were a sham referee-wise. It looked like we had the same exact core of referees out there calling one-sided matches, to the point where Taylor Twellman says in the second half that Orlando City needs to play so that it accommodates what the referees are doing. And that's that. I understand you got to play to what the referee is calling, but when the referee is calling what is an identical penalty, where one of our players goes over their goalie and it gets called against us, but it happens to us less than 40 minutes later and there's nothing doing on it. It's not a good look. Mm-hmm. It doesn't excuse the fact that our captain, our DP captain, got so angry. He was lucky he didn't get sent off.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets suspended to start this season next year.
Well, I mean,
if they do that, they're going to have to send off at least like three of our guys, because he wasn't the only one.
But statistically speaking, we do well in seasons where Luis Nani has received retroactive red cards in the last match of the season.
Well, what a captain, because he must have saw the game out of hand and was like, let me get myself tossed out of the first two games of next year. Well, Cleon, what do you think? What do you think? What's your thoughts on the match, man?
I don't know, man. I can't roll with like blaming the entire team's meltdown on Nani, like, because that started way before him.
Absolutely.
Well, way before the incident, which is, you know, him not getting the foul call and then laying there, which drives me insane. I must get that off my chest. It's not just him. I hate when players do that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I'm shocked it doesn't cost us. It doesn't cost teams more often.
It's
shocking to me how rare it does bite you immediately. When a guy will just lay down after they're not going to reverse the call. They're not. So I don't understand it. I don't understand why players do this. Why do you lay down there and force your man to be playing, force your team to be playing a man short defensively? He's not going to take the call back. He's not going to blow it after the fact. So I don't get it. Get up, put some, try to run somebody down, play deep, then once there's a stoppage, then get back on the ref if that's what you want to do. But why do they do this in the middle of a game, especially on a counter?
Play until the whistle and then argue with the ref going down the tunnel. I don't know. It's
there's no reason to
say that. It's the passion coming out.
And like, yeah, Tayshaun got the ball. Tayshaun got the ball and was gone. But he didn't even, it's not even like he immediately got that ball. Like, he took off with it. He passed it centrally. And then he, like, just kind of jogged for a bit, right? So even if Nani would have just got up and started running and, you know, start trying to, you know, go get back down and help your team defend, Janssen wouldn't have had to come over and try to make a decision in between two players. You know what I mean? That's not – if he's down there, even if he's just chasing, that goal's not going to happen. It's not.
Oh. I don't know. Well, okay. Let me say this. I don't condone him staying on the ground. That's all. That's dumb. That's dumb. That's inexcusable, etc. But this is coming from a team that just, you know, the last two games played a man down and managed to win, right? So that means that in both instances they didn't allow goals, I believe. It means or they allowed one in Columbus right after, but they held on for a while and scored and went to extra time with New York without allowing a goal. So it's possible that you can defend with nine players, right? How was it that the goal took 14 seconds from when Nani got the ball stolen to when it went in the net? Only Yuri Rossell, who was one of the deeper players, Janssen, and Carlos were the only ones there. Why couldn't Kyle Smith come back? Why couldn't Kamal Miller get back? In addition to it, why was Gustavo Bo just chilling there by himself? Carlos Janssen got stuck on the island. Do I take Busca? Do I take Tejan? Do I take Carlos Gil, whatever? And then he got stuck on the island. Not his fault. Then Carlos was running with Busca. Then Bo shows up, and then Carlos got a pick, and then Busca fakes and goes near post. Great move. Hits the post, and Bo is there by himself. So, I mean, what Nani did was idiotic. And you're right. He could have gone back and affected the play. But let's be honest, too, at the same time, Nani doesn't play a ton of defense, you know, and we still have a pretty good defensive record. So there was a little more to it than just that. I don't think it was an excusable goal, even him being on the ground like that. Could he help prevent it? Obviously, yes. Should he have stayed on the ground? No, not at all. Was he fouled? Yes, he was. He was fouled. And you know, after that, but the you know what that is overshadowed? Yuri's terrible penalty. I mean, can we talk about that?
We're gonna get to that part too. Yeah, okay. There's a whole lot to unpack with this game.
Yeah, go ahead, Cleon. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's not that game was not all on one play.
No, I agree. It was accumulation.
Well, it was just one of many plays where
we're gonna get to all of them. We're gonna get to all of them
because there's
many things and many people to blame.
You know how they talk about an emotional letdown? You know, sometimes you don't have, like, you have a big match like this. You're on a high. I mean, that was just an absolutely epic match. And you don't have that same energy the next one. That was part of the problem. But it was also just as exhaustion of getting bad calls, right? Where this time the ref wasn't even really, I think, overall terrible compared to the other ones. But we were just looking and waiting to get it back, you know, almost to jump on them from the get-go. And I, you know, almost like the ref took it out on us and was like, screw you. And that Busca should have had double yellow. It was no question about it. So,
I mean, that trauma also comes from the amount of times that has happened to us our years in this league. It's unfortunately a trauma we're still dealing with, not only as a fan base with the Orlando versus everybody mindset that will definitely make its way into 2020, but it also comes from the players who let out so much emotion and so much, put so much into getting across that line and getting us that first MLS Cup playoffs victory, that it led to that meltdown. It led to us getting not just Nani to, we're not going to single him out to, it led to Nani. It led to Rowe got in the face. I saw Yuri, Hansen, even Mueller was coming a little unglued.
Yeah,
with in the referee's face. I was like, guys, was calm down. I don't want us to get players sent off because we're arguing with the referee constantly. Just play the game. And unfortunately, we were watching him, and it led to goals that ultimately didn't do us any favors. Now, that being said, it's also up to the coach to go into halftime and say, guys, be a goldfish. You guys have been watching Ted Lasso. I know you've been watching. We've been talking about it.
Be a goldfish.
Be a goldfish. The happiest animal on earth is a goldfish. I said it at halftime during this match. Be a goldfish.
Why be a goldfish?
Because they only have a 10-second memory.
Yeah. But at the half, guys, at the half, we were doing okay. We got the goal back. And we were making strides, and I thought we were dangerous for a bit. I think within the heat of the moment, there's so many emotions have gotten a bit out of hand, right? So Nani does this all the time, and we don't allow goals, right? This is not a time to do it. It's not an excuse. I'm just saying it happens. We've defended with 9 players and not allowed a goal before, right? Just because we were a man short for a moment doesn't mean it guarantees a goal. People are like, it just guarantees a goal. If you see some of these other players jogging too, and they see Nani on the ground, hustle back. You know, what statement are you making as well? And does that reflective of Nani's leadership? I guess you can make that argument. That's fair. And then this idea that we were just completely trash for an entire game is not true. There were some times where we were very threatening. There was the Urso goal was a great moment. And then Nani wasn't out of hand the whole time. That's nonsense. Nani had some moments, but there was a time where Nani was, especially when Mauricio got taken out, Nani was all over the place floating and making a lot of stuff happening and doing a lot of positive stuff and was calm. When it unraveled again was the penalty kick brick. When he bricked that penalty kick is when it unraveled again. But there was a time where we had the Tito Trinidad moment where he was a great boxer who did better when he got knocked in the face or got knocked down and came up and destroyed. Orlando City sometimes needs to get knocked down, smacked around, and then we kind of wake up and get a little bit, you know, more cohesive. We were actually doing that for a bit, in my opinion, and that earned us the penalty, and then it fell apart again. But this idea that it was just wild mayhem and Tony was out of control 90 minutes, it's just not true. It's just not true.
Yeah, I think with the, you know, the frustration with the players, it started early, right before that first goal, as looked like Bunbury was offsides. I never saw the replay to confirm because they never put one up on television or on the stadium. But to the eye, it looked like Bunbury was probably offside. I'm talking about this is right before the play where Yuri gave up the penalty. They were crying for the offside. It didn't come. Then Yuri, I don't know why. I don't even understand why he sticks his foot in there at that moment. He wasn't, the dude was heading towards the line. So I don't know what he's doing. Same with Mauricio with his two-footed thing. Like the dude's heading away from the goal at that point. I have no clue what that was about. But yeah, the frustration started there, and they felt hard done with not necessarily by the penalty call, but they felt it was offside to begin with. And then, you know, you give up the penalty right after that. So, and that never went to review, and it just snowballed from there. Like you said, they already come with the mentality because you're coming off of, you know, them the game before where they brutalized Juan all game until he reacted twice. Which you could have gave a red on either one of those, but Juan was hit multiple times before that game. He was getting nailed. And then even before the kick, like everybody saw, the guy pushes off on his stomach and does it again, want to react. So, you know, in between all that, Pedro with the silly card given for whether it's a rule or not, like, you know, guys aren't used to that happening. So they feel hard done with him not being there. So they're already coming into the game a little frustrated. So, and then to start off early in that match with what they felt was offside, not get it called, then give up penalty right after, it just snowballed from there. And every call they did not get, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So, I can see the frustration. Yeah. And you gotta keep your head, but. You know, I can see how it happens. And it wasn't one man. It wasn't Nani's fault that everybody melted down and things like that. It's just a combination. It was unlucky. It was just a whole bunch of – it was unlucky. And guys just need to be better, man. Need to be better. Need to grow.
I think you're spot on there, Cleon, on regards to that. And some we have to this team has to adjust, because if I'm playing Orlando City, just muck up the middle, especially if we don't have our starting fullbacks. Muck up the middle, crap house all the time, foul, stall, get in our heads, and just hope we melt down and you catch us on a counter. And that's how you beat us. That's how Miami does. They just play scumbag soccer and they do that. And Bruce Arena is more than fine playing that old school garbage. And then, you know, what they did to us really is that whenever the ball went, you know, went wide, they on defensively, they had Gustavo Bow and Hill, Carlos Gil and what's his name? And Busca kind of in this triangle. And then they would press if it went out kind of wide, and then they'd get it back central. And then one of the guys, usually Carlos Gil, would go to the holding midfielder, right? So, and then they had, I forgot, who was their number eight again? I forgot their name. But he was man-marking Mauricio. So they were trying to keep the entry pass from getting to him. And then Carlos Gil would head over to Urso or to Yuri, and then, or usually Urso, actually, because he was higher up. And keep the entry pass from going there. And that was, they were able to do that because wide, we had nothing. We had nothing with Kyle Smith. I think he had one pass, right? Perhaps Kamal Miller and Nani just weren't quite in sync. It was just a bit of a mess. And I haven't seen Kamal Miller put in a good cross pretty much. We need to, you know, there's time for roster moves and we were kind of limited in what we can do. And if we're going to be limited a little bit, then we have to be perfect. And we got to keep our heads and we have to be clinical. And we weren't that this match. So credit to the Revs for, you know, doing the obvious game plan and keeping it simple. But you know, we just didn't have enough to get around it and didn't have enough focus to get through that mess that they made.
Speaking of being clinical, keeping your head and being – keeping your head, let me ask this: should Nani have taken that penalty?
Absolutely not. And that's not something I'm saying in hindsight. I was literally like, oh yes, penalty. And then my immediate reaction before I even saw that Nani was going to take it was like, oh no, Nani's not going to take this, is he? It was literally my immediate reaction. I said it in the chat. I said it out loud to people sitting next to me. I was like, oh no, Nani's not going to take this, is he?
I was right there with you, Cleon. I was, the moment I saw him step up to the ball when they showed it, I was just like, oh no, not again. This is our chance. This is our chance to take it to extra time and possibly take another match to penalties and send me to an early cardiac grave. But it's like we said last week, when did you think that Schlegel was going to make the save? Not a single one of us truly believed in it. And I think, gun against our heads, not a single one of us thought that Nani, in his current state of going crazy on the pitch and being very reactionary to both the referees and being pushed around by the Revs defense, was not in a state where he was going to be able to deliver a DP level penalty kick, and that's what happened. And that's all she wrote.
I don't even think it had anything to do with anything like that. Like, that's just Nani has taken so many PKs at this point that everyone has a bead on it. Everyone knows where it's going to go. Everyone has a bead on it at this point because he's taken so many PKs for us, and we never just throw another guy. I've seen other teams to where, you know, occasionally, yeah, they have one main PK taker, but occasionally they'll just throw another guy in there just to mix it up. You know what I mean?
Who would you rather have taken this PK?
It literally could have been anybody.
Monday morning quarterback.
It literally could have been anybody. You could have put Kyle Smith there, and it would have been perfectly fine. I feel like anybody. That's not a joke. I'm dead serious. Like,
oh,
you
I know.
Could have put Kyle Smith there. And it wasn't going to make a difference. Like, half the time they're just guessing. But with Nani, they're not guessing anymore. They know where it's going. So that's what the difference is. Like we never switched to PK taker. Nani's taken so many PKs at this point. Like it's like double digits. Like he's taken like 10 since he's been here. That everyone knows where it's going. And he tried to switch it up with the little starter step type of deal because people got a beat on it after about the first five. And then he tried to switch it up after the LAFC game with that. But then, you know, after a while, they got a beat on that one, too. Because in between us getting into the shootouts and then all the PKs we get during the season, they just know. And us never switching it to anyone except for Nani. But these goalkeepers study, man. They study. So they're expecting, especially in a playoff game where there's a high chance they can go to PKs, they're studying players in their PKs, and I guarantee you, every goalkeeper knows where Nani's shooting that ball at this point. So you could have.
So you think it was more strategic than it was emotional?
No, it wasn't mental. It wasn't mental at all. He placed it the same way as he did at the beginning of the game when there was no like the one.
You're talking about New York
in NYCFC. Remember, he had the two.
But he went right on the two. This time he went left.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Everyone knows exactly where it's going. Because
I got you. You're saying that his like technique is predictable. Yeah.
And then it went viral. Then it went viral on top of that. So everyone knows, okay, he just took two more PKs. You know what I mean? He's so many PKs in such a short succession. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay,
this was his third PK in 2 weeks.
They're not, yeah, like these like this goalkeeper isn't coming in and being like he knows Nani's last four or five PKs at this point. And not like something off a whim. Like he knows it coming into the game.
Yeah.
And well, especially with it going viral. Everyone's seen him miss the PK. Everyone knew exactly where it was going. The one he made and then the one he got blocked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's interesting that the whole changing it up. No one's really talked about that. So that's a cool perspective I didn't think about. I thought when he came out, I thought, oh no, please don't let us down. You know, because he's made some clutch ones. You know, he made the LAFC one. He made the goal for NYCFC. Remember, his first ever goal was that.
But even that one was one for two.
Which one? Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's true. And then his first ever goal, I believe, was a penalty kick against the Rapids, right? And so I was just like, no, man, there's no way he's going to miss again. But of course, I was thinking he's going to miss. If someone else went up there, I'm like, we got this. But so, of course, nobody was thinking that. Now, I don't necessarily blame Oscar for not taking him out. I mean, he's your best player. He's your captain, and the team believes him. And you're like, you're Nani. You can do this. But his and I get how it is. That's how teams are, camaraderie. I got your back. He's the captain. It's going to look bad, et cetera, et cetera. Do I make that statement in the big game? You know, he's due. He's not going to do it again. He knows he let the team down. He knows that it almost cost us. He's due, you know. So that almost gives you a reason to put him back, actually, as the kicker. But his career track record is just mediocre at best for PKs. And it's very mediocre.
He's
like 50%. It's just
literally 50%. Like in
the but even career wise, he's like 56. He's just not good at them. And I think he's got a bit of the yips. I think the whole waiting until the keeper to commit was because he wanted to be extra careful because he missed the LA one. He did that after the LAFC first miss, which if you look at his misses, they're all around mid-waist, perfectly savable height kicks. They're safe. And usually you want to go high or low hard. This time, he didn't do the slow walk. The slow walk has gotten blocked. He didn't do that this time. Sean Johnson didn't commit until Nani did, and he blocked that one easily. So he went and kind of did like a slide. When you're a baseball pitcher, you kind of do that slide windup where you don't do the full windup and you go. So he did a short windup, and he hit it hard, actually. People say he didn't. I think he hit it hard. He just hit it at a height that was safeable, and it was predictable. Turner had the book on him, and he guessed correctly. In this case, it would have been better to do the slow walk, I think, perhaps. So, I mean, it was unfortunate. It broke my heart, and I thought we were done at that point. It was just – it would have been epic. It would have been epic to tie. Do I think we would have held on? I don't know. I don't know if we would have held on, mostly because Gallese wasn't there. I don't know if we hang on and go to PKs again. But, you know, I mean, that's just – it just sucks. And I think people are overreacting a little bit, crucifying Nani for this. Just, you know, usual nonsense about pay and passion and whatever. I mean, fans, make up your mind. You want Harden hustle or not, or you want passion? I don't get it. He didn't hustle on one play, but he tracked back a bunch that game. He made a slide tackle right outside the box. You know, like, pull your heads out of your butts and just watch the whole thing. Did he have his best performance? No. But was he garbage the whole time? No. Did he do a lot of stuff? Yes, he did. Are we anywhere close to where we are without Nani? Not at all. And everybody needs to remember that. A little respect in the captain's name. It's gone a bit too far. It's gone a bit too far already, I think. And to blame it solely on one guy is just, the team didn't play great. A lot of bad passes, a lot of misplays. You watch when Nani falls. See people jogging over there. Just a bunch of nonsense. Jiri didn't need to make that foul. There was a bunch of dumb plays all over the place, in my opinion, that cost us. And it is what it is, man. It sucks, but let's also kind of have a little bit of perspective at the same time.
And yeah, I feel like we just had a lot of we just didn't get a lot out of the guys we needed it from. Like Chris, he was really bad. I'll say he was really bad. I have to say,
I don't think he was really bad.
He was better than the NYCFC game. Bro, he just couldn't finish
every single time he was getting it.
Really? I don't know. I thought Chris is best when he gets into the space Mauricio leaves behind, when Mauricio gets deep, and he's almost like a second 10. He's like a false nine or second striker. He's rarely wide. You'll see him out the right-hand side of the box, and he'll slide a pass to like a Juan, stuff like that. But when you don't have that option, right, it just limits Chris Mueller. So you could focus and take him out of the game a little bit because he doesn't have protection wide. So you see Mueller and Nani double team all the time because people, there's no width from from Miller and Kyle Smith. I know people like their defense and all this stuff, but you know, is it more obvious now, the difference now between the two of them? How many times do we see Huron in the first 15 minutes get in the box, create a something, right, or be a threat, right?
I can't put him losing the ball every time you try to.
No, what I'm saying. No, back. I'm not saying that. That's it. I'm just saying that he's got more traffic. There's less space, and I do think he had a few, just like Nani. I think you know they were pressing too hard. I think almost not. I think Mueller's first Mueller getting like not the best 11, and he was doing a little note thingy, right? He tweeted like taking notes that they left him out of the best 11. I think he pressed too hard. I think Nani pressed too hard. I think Nani wanted to make it up to us for bricking. I think he knew that, and he pressed too hard. And I think Mueller did, but I thought Mueller was effective. Mueller got us the first goal. Without Mueller making that good run, then we don't get the goal. And then people say, oh, without Mueller making that run, we don't get the first goal. Who passed it to Mueller? Nani. Anybody else besides Perea can make that pass on this team? Anybody? No? Okay. Let's not forget that either.
Yeah, and Mueller, to take it a step further, he's right inside the six. He's on the far post. And instead of trying to do an additional finish himself, he makes that pass and he finds Jiri on the outside post, just outside of the six box. And you're not Jiri, the bear, and he puts it in. And that gives us hope, but it doesn't give us the dominance we wanted. Back to the Nani thing real quick.
Well, real quick, Alex, though, to be honest, I looked at the goal again. It looked like that the first time, but it kind of, like, to Cleon's point, Mueller kind of lost it. It wasn't an easy spot. He lost it. Kessler passed it back to Urso, and Urso finished it.
Oh, that was a rebound?
Yeah, right, Cleon? Mueller lost it, and the defender hit it back to Urso, in my opinion. It was like an...
That whole play at... After the Nani pass, that whole play was just reactions. Like, I don't think it wasn't like, I wouldn't say much of anything was, there was much thought put behind it after, beyond the Nani pass. Because the ball just kind of bounced around and it was just reaction. Chris went to shoot it. It looked like he was going to try to shoot it, but he had nothing. And then just saw Urso last second and just kind of tried to poke it out as he was falling down. And it just, you know, it got to him.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me a lot.
There was nothing very smooth about that play. Let's just put it like that.
It wasn't smooth, but it reminded me a lot of a Dom Dwyer assist. And that's who Mueller has been kind of hanging out with since he came here. And that's who he's been learning that scrappy stuff from. But back to the Nani stuff. Yeah, he had a rough game. He maybe got put in a rough position where to take that PK, but I'm not gonna be like some of these people that are like, oh, I don't want him back in 2021.
I want Nani
back in 2021. I want Nani hungry. I want him coming back to give more of himself. And I think he's gonna do that. I think he's gonna come back wanting to prove that this isn't his last hurrah, that he's going to not only show his ability, but to also just put in reinforcement that this is a league where he can succeed and that he can win a trophy and that he can deliver for the fan base. Because he loves it here. You don't love a place and dye your hair the color. Like, that's just a fact of life. I don't even have hair, and I understand that.
So, Cleon, what do you think about our three stars? Our three best players are probably Mauricio, Nani, and Mueller. So what do you think about their performance this playoffs, pretty much?
See, it's weird because in a way you could say DK, Mueller, and a bit Mauricio and Nani, in a way you could say they didn't show up, but it wasn't like for a lack of effort. You know what I mean? They weren't out there because I've seen guys go ghost. They went ghost like statistically, but I can't sit here and say they weren't present. Like they went ghost, like a dude just disappears. You know what I mean? You ever heard of like when you say you guys that are like Tarzan in the regular season and then they disappear in when the playoffs comes and they just shrink under the pressure?
Yeah.
I can't say that was the situation because all of them were there and all of them had the mentality, and it seemed like they had the drive to like, I want to win this. And I almost like they wanted to do it on their own though. So it was like,
yeah,
it was like they wanted it so bad. It was like to a detriment because it's almost like they all became
DK, especially
DK Mueller did. DK did. Even Mauricio did. And Nani. And Nani's always like that. Nani, yeah. I'll give Nani. Nani's always like that. So it wasn't really too much of a difference for him. But
DK wanted to take the ball himself and score everything himself. Yes. And DK, that's where DK, he the playoffs to
went
together.
Back to like how he was when he first started getting playing time and just tried to do everything on his own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he could have almost.
Yeah.
He
and some of those layoffs were too,
constantly.
Yeah. One of those layoffs too were off, right? He lost his touch. You're right. Cleon.
And Chris was doing it. And Mauricio was as well. Mauricio almost seemed like he was overplaying as well because he was losing the ball a lot more than in these both of these games. He was losing the ball a lot more than I'm used to seeing him lose the ball. Mind you, he hustles a lot, so a lot of times he gets it right back. But he was getting the ball taken off him a lot. Even if he was getting it right back by diving in and, you know, being gritty like he is, but he seemed like he was playing out of his normal. He was out of his normal bag, man. Like he's normally not that like one, like about himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right, Cleon. We weren't doing just like simple things, I think, at times. We're pressing. We just were simple passes. We weren't doing the easy pass.
Yeah, the attackers, they all tried to do it on their own.
Last game too.
Yeah. Not just this one, both of them.
I think Nani actually calmed it down before we got to penalty and DK. Like Nani would get the ball a lot and would just pop up everywhere and was just keeping the ball and recycling, actually calmed things down. And DK realized, look, they're shoving me to hell every time I touch it. And then he started falling down, you know? And is it me? But every time he falls, do you hear it? God, poof. You know, it's like, you know, and the people behind me were just saying, he's too big. You know, that was just pretty funny. But that he earned that PK, so I'm going to give him credit for that. But you're right. He pressed it, some heavy touches. It was just, it was tense and too much pressing today. And Mauricio's penalty was absolutely idiotic. But it was due to that pressing. Mauricio Perez. Huh? Mauricio's. Oh. I mean, not penalty. Yeah, like his foul, which led to the red card. His foul was just dumb, but it was that. It was pressing. He was trying to do too much. Carlos had the guy. The guy was slowing down.
He was going away from goal at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, he was waiting for runners to catch up because Carlos had him. And when you're a defender, you're isolated. You're told to get him outside, right? The farther away from the goal. Carlos had him, was directing him outside. The guy was downshifting gears. And here comes Mauricio, Johnny Lawrence's and to hell. And then here's a red card. It was like, what were you thinking? They were not thinking as a team. This team that was cohesive and was just playing out of memory from the MLS's back to, I thought this Sunday were not the cohesive team. It was, everyone's going to take it by the gruff, you know.
And everyone
was trying to keep themselves. Yeah, and Nani ball hogs all the time. Yes. Nani ball hogs all the time.
I'll give him a pass.
Exactly.
Nani's always tries to do it himself.
And Nani's ball hogging on the
everybody
whole.
Everybody tried to be Nani.
Exactly. people want, exactly. Not everyone could do that. People are out there thinking they want Nani to be Will Johnson and pass it 6 yards all the time. Sometimes he needs to do that. He needed to do that when he got fouled to Miller. But he did get fouled too at the same time. Let's not forget that. But he should have passed in the middle for sure. But on the whole, his ball hogging is an extreme positive thing for us. Nani is not there to be tidy. Nani is there to pull stuff off only Nani can pull off. Like Bruce Arena said about Clint Dempsey, he does stuff because Clint tries, you know? Nani pulls stuff off because he tries to do it. So on the whole, I'm not going to be overly mad about him ball hogging. It's just like a quarterback. Sometimes some quarterbacks are Alex Smith. They want him to be Alex Smith. Dink it down 6 yards or Mitchell Trubisky. Or Jimmy Garoppolo now, you know?
Bud.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Alex. I had to. And then, but some people are Brett Favre or whatever. They take a little risk.
Oh, thanks.
They push it. Yeah, they push it down the field. Sometimes it gets intercepted, but sometimes you make passes that you would have not normally made. That's how you score points. You have to take some chances sometimes. So I don't begrudge Nani for that, but everybody can't be doing a Nani and be trying to take everybody on. You know, that was the thing, Cleon, right? DK is trying to take two people on, running people over, throwing them aside. Mueller is trying to take two, three people on. And, you know, come on, Miller is out there spinning and dancing on people. You know, everybody calm down a little bit. Get out of hands.
Speaking of players taking each other on, I want to apologize for my snickering in the background a couple minutes ago. Shane O'Neill just scored for Seattle.
That was Shane O'Neill that scored that?
That was Shane O'Neill.
I got the volume down, so I didn't realize I'm watching.
That
but I
was
got the volume
Shane
on
O'Neill. Lord, that's why I was snickering and having to cover my mouth, because it's like, of course he scored. Of course
I felt bad for the Mitchell Trubisky shot, but I don't feel bad anymore. I didn't need to hear
that. But then you had to follow it up with Brett Favre. The only person I hate more than Mitchell Trubisky is Brett Favre.
Oh, I got you. Fair enough.
after the weekend of heartbreak I had to endure, Liverpool getting VAR'd again. Michigan football collapsing. My favorite soccer team, Orlando City Soccer Club, getting eliminated. And the Chicago Bears looking like crap.
Look, I'm an Arsenal fan. Arsenal fan, and I'm a 49ers fan. Even their stadium's on IR right now. That's how bad of a year we've had.
There's holes in the Levi's.
Playoff, our MLS Cup dream is over for this season.
Yes.
How do you guys feel as far as, I'll start with me. First, the reason why it hurt me so bad was I just feel like things were lined up for us this season. And I think a lot of people underestimate how hard it is to actually not only win a championship, but actually get to the final. Like a lot of times being good is not even enough. Like you could be the best team in the league and win the Supporters Shield. All you gotta do is look how many times the Supporters Shield champion does not win the cup. So I feel like it was within our grasp. I don't know if we could have won the whole thing, but I feel like getting to that MLS Cup and having it in our stadium was very well within reach. And I don't know how often that happens. A lot of people, I feel like, take that for granted. And they're just like, oh, if we're good, we'll just be there again next year or the next year. But you know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you Atlanta fans didn't think they'd be where they are right now. Coming off the how they started. And now they're looking
That just made me feel better.
Yeah, and they're sitting there looking at a total rebuild at this point.
And zero players to be called up, but that's just a teaser to later.
Like, so that's what a lot of my pain was coming from as far as us not making it. It's just, I just know how sometimes how long it can take, bro. Cubs fans and they know, Cubs fans, teams. Some teams have been in the league since it started. MLS, some teams have been there since it started, and like Columbus, they won it once, but I mean, you've been in there 26 years.
The Rebs are over five. Rebs are over five in the finals.
Take Toronto to even get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did like the Revolution, bro. They, like, you were talking about the Rebs. They were like a, almost in a way, like a dynasty, not a dynasty.
They were like a Bills.
But they, yeah, exactly. They were like a Buffalo Bills type a deal to where like they were consistently one of the best teams in the entire league. But they still, it still doesn't mean you're going to win that trophy. They've been, how long have they been in? 26 years?
Yeah, they're one of the, yeah. I
mean, yeah, it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. Yeah. And they've been very good for a lot of those 26 years.
That's true.
So, so guys, like we gotta appreciate when we make these types of runs, and we could be better. I'm not going to be a downer, but we could be a better team next year and still not get as far as we did.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You're right. Cubs
for the shield and not get as far as we did this playoff. So, us as fans, we need to appreciate these times, man. And when you're good, celebrate them. That's what we said early in the season. Like when we're celebrating, it's like, oh, look at us celebrating when we're advancing through a playoff, we're advancing through the MLS's back tournament, and we're celebrating like we won a championship, bro. Like it's not guaranteed you're gonna get back there. So I encourage fans and players too. When celebrate all those wins, man. Celebrate them all, because you never know. You never know what the next year is going to bring you. Atlanta could be trash.
You're right, and Cleon, I'm with you on that. We could have hosted the tournament. I mean, easily, right? We could have. We got to a finals and didn't win it. There's no guarantee that teams with big money aren't going to get it right. You know, Miami's got a lot of pieces. What if they get it right? Atlanta's, Joseph's coming back, stuff. Nashville, another year in that system, and they're good. Columbus, right? Red Bulls, probably, you know, they've been better before. There's a lot of stuff that can happen. Nobody had us. Yeah, nobody, when they were trying to fill in their playoff bracket and say, where am I going to fit in? They had us all out of it. Everybody, right? So who's the us next year? Who's the one who gets it? Who puts it together next year? Who knows, right? So absolutely right. We can have a better team, but the rest of the league could get better. There's a lot of clubs that have big money that they're going to spend. We talk about the Revs, but look how much money did they got three goals and an assist from their big three players, right? Total. How much did Carlos Gil and Bo and Busca costs, you know, a lot of money. Bo was 7-10 million. Gustavo Bo.
Yeah, he was like eight. I think it was like 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He was more than we've ever spent on anybody. And so even the Rebs are spending money, and it's going to be tough. And that's why I'm with you, Cleon. Enjoy every moment. I celebrate NYC like
celebrate them all, you know, man.
Yeah, celebrate
and
them all.
Go all out for any piece of hardware you can get. That's why I said before, you don't save nothing, bro. If it's, you know, if we were in
the Open Cup,
like guys earlier when we were talking about Supporter Shield, right? Everyone's like, oh, I don't care. I'd just rather win the MLS Cup. It's not guaranteed you're going to win the MLS Cup. Can you imagine if Philly had shut it down, saying like, because, oh, we're the top team in the league. I don't care if we get this Supporter Shield because we can just go get the MLS Cup. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Imagine if you're
out first round.
That's right. Imagine if you waited to celebrate and you had this arrogance. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to, this is small time club. I'm not going to celebrate these things until we win the whole thing. Celebrate, you don't celebrate anything. People act like we've been there before. We haven't. Enjoy every moment. We have not. Okay. We're building. I'm excited about what we're building here. But anything could happen. Injuries could happen. My football team just came from having a 10-point lead in the third quarter to you know, the whole team falling apart with injuries. I'm just hanging on for life right now. That literally is happening.
I don't know.
We've seen an MLS. We've seen teams be in the finals and not make the playoffs. Remember Portland?
Yeah.
We've seen teams, Seattle barely sneak in. Dallas, under Pareja, barely sneak in. The Galaxy, Toronto, barely sneaking in. So this idea that you're a top four team, you're going to cruise. That's not how it always works, man. We have to take everything. We can't take anything for granted. We got to enjoy the moments.
No, you shoot for them all, bro. You shoot for them all. Go, if you got any shot at a trophy of any kind, you need to go and get it, and you need to celebrate it like you never celebrated before. I appreciate every last one of them, man. I don't know what's going to happen this season coming, but if that what's that new tournament they came up with? I don't think we're not getting into Champions League. But, what's the other one?
I was actually going to segue into that. I literally just looked that up.
Champions or something? Or was it Leafs?
No, there's two. There's the Champions, but that's only the champions of MLS Cup and Liga MX. But there is the Leagues Cup, and I just looked it up.
Go for it.
We are qualified for it. We are in the 2021 Leagues Cup. If they have it, that's true.
Yeah.
Before I got to that, I was going to say, you bring up the Cubs example, and that's something that makes me think and say, hey, you're right, because I'm watching my Chicago Cubs get dismantled one player at a time, and they're breaking up the band, and I don't know when that's going to happen again. I don't know when I'm going to get to see my favorite baseball team doing well again. So this makes me actually thankful to see, okay, we did better than it's what my family, it's what my friends have all been saying to me all week as they have consoled me and said, are you okay after what happened on Sunday? They went farther than they ever have gone before in a top tier league. We won a game in the MLS Cup playoffs, and we made progress to a point where we can be a contender in 2021. And we are already talking about signing many of the players that we can do that. We're going to look forward to 2021. Everyone's excited about it. No one's dreading the season. No one's calling for wholesale changes. We just
need to tweak this.
We have to tweak the squad. We have to fill in a couple of weaknesses, maybe strengthen up the bench players, and let's go. We don't need a new coach. We're happy with his tactics.
Also a first for me.
Exactly.
I've been calling for a coach's head every all season we've had, bro.
I love doing the end of the season ones.
Every single one.
Yeah, because
no, we want to. We still want to build him a statue. Like we want to build him a statue after one playoff win. Imagine what he's gonna do next season with some money and some time.
Yeah,
and the motivation to play international soccer, because he is. We are qualified as the fourth seed that did not qualify for the 2021 CONCACAF Champions League. We are guaranteed a League's Cup slot, which means they got enough time, they can plan it. They'll probably host it all in Orlando like they're hosting the 2020 CONCACAF Champions League. I mean, three days after MLS Cup is all the CONCACAF Champions League stuff here. Who knows? Yeah. They'll probably host it here too, or in Miami.
Yeah, well, that's true. Good point. I didn't know that we qualified for that, so that's good news. And I'm excited about that. But speaking of like the roster turnover, right, Cleon? Normally, when we do this, it's like, all right, how do we have enough players we want to protect? Like, what if this guy goes? And I remember Cleon saying, I don't care. I don't really care. Except this two guys, Yoshi and like whatever, then I don't really care, right, Cleon? And yeah. the coach, is it too soon? You're like, get him out. It was just, we're in a new era, you know?
And we already re-signed one of the players that was a big question mark. That news just came out today.
Yeah, well, moving into talking about next year, let's just get into that. Had a couple of roster announcements. All the U.S. men's national team stuff, we're going to save that for the end of the podcast, all them congrats. But for now, we'll just get into roster movement is starting up. Teams are starting to release their options and players that will be back, players that won't. And two huge question marks for Orlando City have been announced. Mauricio Pereira has re-signed a one-year deal, and Antonio Carlos has inked a 3+1 deal of 3 years with I'm assuming a team option for a fourth. How you guys feeling?
I'm so happy that Carlos is back on the permanent transfer, that's not a question anymore. Everybody wanted him. He was slow going at first. He was kind of our kicking boy for the first couple of – he was our kicking post for the first couple of
games,
matches in the MLS's back tournament. And then something clicked, and he just faded right in and became that reliable center back that we've been longing after. And we got what we wanted, and now we've got him for – 3, maybe 4 years. And that's something that's really exciting to think about, that we have a young player that can anchor our defense going into pretty much half of this decade, if we really want him. It's exciting to see him come back, and it's exciting that Mauricio's coming back. We're going to get that second year, that third year of just growth. I mean, we saw his growth between the end of his first year here and his full second year here. Imagine what he's going to do in the off season. Imagine how he can integrate even more with Oscar Pereira's system and with the players we bring in the off season. The sky's the limit. We can, any other adage you want to use, he can control what we do with the ball, how we structure our attack in 2021. It's really limitless what we can do just with those two signings less than 48 hours after the season has ended.
How about you, Eddie? And also about how do you feel about the contract length? Antonio Carlos is three years plus a team option for a fourth. So that'll make him what, 30? 30 and then 31 if they pick up the fourth. And Mauricio, he'll be 31 this season. So he's just on a 1 year. So he'll be 31 to end the season too. He turns before the season.
Yeah, he turns 31 in March.
Yeah. So he'll be 31. And then I guess it's decision time again at the end of that season. So how you guys feeling? How you feeling about the lengths and about the signings themselves, bringing them back and the contract lengths? Well, he's a DP. He's a DP.
He's a DP. Yeah. They didn't say this time DP with the potential buy down. Doesn't mean it's not nice there. DP. They just didn't say it this time. I'm ecstatic about both signings. Mauricio, I think the 1 year is good because I'm not sure if he got his family here with COVID, and that must be difficult. I know he said he wanted to be closer to his family and whatnot, but I think he likes it here. I think he likes the league. I think he was getting some attention he deserved. And I think he likes, you know, he's playing a different position than he did in Russia. I think he probably likes being that string puller, that maestro in the middle, you know? And I think it suits him. I think he's excellent at that. Him and Nani together, I mean, their wins percentage, like their points per game, is huge. And I want to see them together as much as possible. Mauricio's had some injury, some bad luck with that. You get stuff like when Nani, we got to manage his minutes. Nani declined a little bit. he played a ton. It was so many games. The MLS is back and all that. You get stuff a little bit out of context. I wanted to address from Matt Doyle. He said 90's first 19 games of 2019, 8-8, right? The last 11 games, 4 goals and 2 assists. I have to double check the numbers, but I think those last 11 games, 90 played with Mauricio twice and they won both of those games, right? So, four out of those 11 games, I believe Mauricio and 90 played. So, when Nani plays with Mauricio together, it's an amazing duo. We're tough to beat, and I think 1 year is perfect. Not that 31 isn't a big concern, because he's so good defensively. You know, if anything, we could set him deeper, and he could be a regular eight. That guy could be a six, whatever. He's economical with his movement. He'll be fine. I'm not worried about the age, but I think with family considerations, maybe he wants to finish in his home country, I believe. I think that's perfect, and it gives us opportunity to buy a little time to find a replacement for him as well, and so I'm happy with that. And if I was the club, you know, after that red card, I'd be like, hey, buddy, you owe us, you know, you're trying to leave, but give us one more year. That would have been my pitch. And Antonio, and look at this. During the regular season, 2020, the Lions, we only lost one game with Mauricio on the pitch in the starting lineup. And that was from Julia Poe, plus 13 goal differential and 8-1-5 during that span. I mean, you got a guy who's making that kind of impact. You got to keep him. That's huge. And he was second in the team in chances created with 38, even though he missed 5 games near the end of the season there. So that's incredible. And Antonio Carlos, man, 54 interceptions, third in MLS, 57 aerials won, which led the team with 13 in MLS. And, you know, 20th in MLS in duels, 61.2 dual success. And you know, our defense, our goals per game, I believe, is 1.09 or something like that with him and Jansen together. Center back duels, the more time they have together, the better. This guy came into a new league. Usually they talk about you need time to adapt. He came into a new league. After a couple of games, he adapted. He's paired up with a guy from Sweden, and they've become one of the better center back duels in the entire league. And he's playing with rotating fullbacks, guys who are playing essentially out of position. Kyle on the left and Kamal at left back, so, you know, arguably out of position. And we play a possession style soccer, right? And so he's left isolated a lot of the time, and they play a pretty high line. So some of these stats would be even better if we sat back a little bit, like Nashville and stuff like that. So he's a good player. He reads the game well. He blocks a lot of stuff from coming in. He's pretty nice on the ball. And for a center back, we're getting him right in his prime, beginning of his prime. That's perfect. I like that option here too, because 31 is nothing wrong with that. So, and I mean, hats off to the scouting team for finding this guy. He had some big tournament experience in Brazil. He was hungry for minutes. And I mean, he guys fit in great into the Brazilian community here, and he loves it here. And I mean, I thought that was a good signing. I can't wait to see what the numbers are for both of these. Carlos is going to have to be a TAM guy, and I want to see all those details, but I'm happy with the people we have.
Yeah, he was TAM coming in anyway.
Yeah, and the option was $2 million or so, right? Near the $2 million range? Yeah, the loan option. So we don't know what the numbers are yet, but we'll see. What do you think about the signings, Cleon?
Yeah, I'm with them. I would have did them. Mauricio on the 1 year, I'm pretty good with that. I would have only felt comfortable with the 2 year with him if, like, the second was a team option or something that you could get out of if you needed to. Because he has been a little injury prone, for sure. And he plays so hard, like defensively. He puts such a shift in that you know, it's a good chance that his injuries could just be that type of guy from here on out, especially as he keeps getting older. So yeah, it's good. A 1 year is good. Then he comes off the books at the same time as Nani. So, you know, if after this season coming, you know, they're like, okay, both of these guys it's time to move on, then, you know, you move on together. You got two DPs, well, possibly three, depending on if we sign a third this offseason. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with it. I think we definitely need to find a backup. because I think he definitely needs to have his minutes managed. So I would really like to see us bring in a very good number 10 behind him, or at least a guy that, you know, we can start developing or something. I personally think you need to have a guy that's you're basically groomed to take over next year.
But let me pose a question. I was looking at our roster, and a name that I totally forgot about was still technically listed.
Come on.
Is there any chance that he makes his way back into the fold and gets used as a backup in 2021?
I think a lot of it would depend on if he's still going to be a DP or not. If he is, there's no way you touch him at all. I believe his contract wasn't supposed to be up until he signed like a 5-year deal or something, right? I'm pretty sure he did.
It was not a short contract.
No, it was at least 5 years or something like that. So his contract isn't going to be up till the year after next. I guess he played kind of decent for his minutes being limited this season over there in Paraguay. He is only 2 goals, 2 assists or whatever, but that's, you know, that's like half a point a game per 90, which is decent for 10 or a winger. A lot would depend on what's his tag going to be if he does come back. If that transfer fee is being paid off to the point to where it's, you know, it doesn't make him a DP, then possibly. But I mean, do they even want him though? That's the question. I mean, they didn't bring him in, so we don't really know how much they even like him.
It'll all depend on did he ever get a look from Oscar Pereira, loan occur prior? I think it occurred
his prior. It was
before him, right?
Yeah, it was before him. Absolutely. It was like in the second half of the year with James O'Connor, and they sent him away. He's been played as a right winger, you know, over there. He's kind of like a pocket winger. So, I mean, I can see how that fits. Like, that's how they're using Mueller, basically. But Cleon's right about the DP's part. He was a DP because of the transfer fee, mostly. He doesn't fit in the young DP rules anymore now.
He still does. Yeah, he still does.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought he just aged out of that. No. Okay.
No, he's young, bro. He's younger than Larrea.
Oh, okay. So then, how does that count in regards to our three DPs? It's just a young DP.
He would still be a DP.
Sorry.
He's still get three.
You still get three. Yeah, but sorry. There's a new rule. There's that new rule there where he doesn't fit into the young future player kind of rule. But it's the cap hit that is different within the as a young DP. The cap hit is minimalized. Yeah, but if the transfer fee has been dealt with to a certain point where now the allocation of it is not so much where it makes him a DP, then you know, bring him into camp.
I would say I'm not expecting much
from him.
If they're not planning on bringing in or being able to afford bringing in another player you can try to groom to be, unless they're just going to bring in a vet MLS 10. I haven't really seen any available outside of maybe so far on the at least from the teams that have been shown roster releases and stuff. The only player I've seen is probably Tom. What's the guy from Houston? Tomas Martinez, I think, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's decent, but he's like 26, 28. I don't know how old he is now. Yeah. I believe he's like 26 or so. I mean, if he's not going to be a DP, I don't see what the harm would be, because you literally played with zero players behind him this season. So, I mean, I would just double up him and Larrea back there and hope one of them pans out. But that's only if he doesn't count towards the DP spot or doesn't mess our cap situation up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't expect much from him, but he can be depth.
See what happens.
Yeah, he could be depth, and what better coach to give him a run at? Who, you know, I mean, before this guy had to deal with you know, trying to understand James O'Connor and Jason Christ. He didn't speak robot, so but he speaks Spanish. So, you know, I think Oscar can be who Oscar likes to use number 10s, likes to use, he himself was a diminutive midfielder, you know, so I think Oscar, I want Oscar to give him, you know, what is it, a good up and down look and see if he's got something to work with. He's our player, might as well give him a look. But do I bank on him for anything? No, not really.
Absolutely not. Absolutely but not. You wouldn't have to, but that's the thing, you wouldn't have to.
Be a surprise. Here.
Exactly, and it'll be a good transition to kind of come back, and if he's the heir apparent, then great. But up until then, might as well just give it a shot.
Especially yeah, now he has to earn the 10 shirt back. That's for darn sure.
No, that 10.
Yeah, him, that's already gone.
Turn that around and give him a 0-1. Start all over, buddy. Sorry for that.
Well, he's wearing like 17. Over, he didn't even get his 10 back in Paraguay, so yeah. He ain't gonna get it here.
Yeah, for sure.
He's wearing 17 or something. 17's available, ain't it?
I think so. Yeah, because Chris took 7.
Yeah.
He was no, Nani is 17.
Oh, shoot,
Nani. What are you talking about, buddy? You trying to get rid of 92? That's the one. Why, that's
how
not.
How do they slip that, bro?
17. No, Mueller's 9.
You got a
17 and 10.
Than getting 17.
Yeah, 17, 10, and 9, and number 2 are locked down, okay?
Wow. And, how do they skip Nani? Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's nuts. Now, mind you, with the way these types of things goes, Orlando will probably put out a roster announcement tomorrow, and then he probably had an option or something. They just declined him, and he's free to go wherever he wants.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
We're recording this on Tuesday, December 1st, fellas. So.
Yeah. We'll release the podcast before that gets released.
I doubt it.
Hopefully. Hey, don't doubt me, Cleon. I'll get to it.
All right. What other options, I guess you could say, options or re-signings are you guys prioritizing next, if it was up to you? We still have a loan-to-buy option on Andres Perea, Alexander Alvarado, and Rodrigo Slagle. We still have loan-to-buy options on them. And out of contract, I don't think we have anybody a note except for maybe that Dom guy. Other than that, I don't think
we have enough time in this episode to talk about Dom.
Yeah, so I would be shocked if that was to get redone. So when I say shocked, I mean shocked. But
what number would it take for you to? I mean, like,
bro, we've been through this. I thought we weren't going to get into it, but
save it for next week.
The number is zero. The number is zero. There's no reason.
Save it for next time.
Then two.
Yeah.
Zero.
I gotcha. I will move on. To answer your question. I would like to prioritize Andres Perea is the first guy you need to sign. Yeah, he just got called up, spoiler alert, for the US men's national team. He's not the captain of Anchor Babies FC. That's what Cleon is.
But, yes, sir.
But he's one of them. And he was born in Tampa. I think the cruise ship stopped there or something. And he was born there, so he's American. And he got called up. And but the promise is there. Taylor Twellman talked about it. He likes him. He's a good player. Got a good future. He's 20 years old. He just turned 20, man. And he's clutch. He's got a good presence about him. That this is a star in the making, in my opinion. This is a guy we could trade. This is, you know, it's going to be a good asset. He's first. Alvarado, how can you really tell? He looked like he fit the part, but it's not like he came from a big league, anything like that. I'm not sure.
I would. I mean, they're. I would just assume that's getting done because I don't see why they're not going to bring him otherwise.
Yeah. The short term thing was just probably to get him in for now, but I don't think he's going to be expensive either. And, but yeah, I mean, I would keep Schlegel too. You need good center back depth. Right now, Kamal Miller's played far more left back than center back. He's, you know, DeJong is there. Once you get past Carlos and Jansen, then it just goes into DeJong and Schlegel. And Schlegel was pretty good when he was the starter. So I don't see why we wouldn't try to keep him, but it all depends on the prices. But priority is Perea, Schlegel, Alvarado, in that order.
I think it's most likely it's, I would say, Perea, Alvarado, then Schlegel.
Why so? What do you think of, why do you say that? I'm not saying I disagree, but what's your reasoning?
Because I think they brought Alvarado in to possibly become a starter, to be a Mueller replacement, or possibly Nani. I doubt Nani, but because I think they're bringing they're looking to bring in a DP, like a star DP once that time's up. But I believe Alvarado is definitely Mueller protection. So he's higher on that priority list to me. Like Schlegel, even if we were signing, he's never going to start over Carlos or Jansen unless somebody gets injured. You know what I mean? Or drastically falls off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Perea is a lock, considering his youth and his what he's already contributed and his potential going forward. Alvarado, we don't have enough of a sample size, and Schlegel, I mean, I would like to keep him because he's a likable person, but we didn't get a ton of time to see him really be a starter or even a lot of time off the bench. He just contributed one of the craziest moments in the history of the club, so that kind of figures into that. I almost want to call it Adrian Winter season or syndrome, but we'll see. It's all a matter, like we were talking earlier, it's a matter of price. It's a matter of,
I doubt he was expensive.
Keep us from getting some of that star player to take over for Nani in the next year or two? If not, then keep him if you can. And that's, I'm assuming, based off the fact that, like you said, unless Dom Dwyer is going to take a significant,
it doesn't matter what he takes, he's not coming back. It don't matter what it is. It's just no pay cut that's going to bring him back. Bye, everybody. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
There's no,
you're not wrong, but
no reason to. Zero.
All right, Cleo. Cleo's out of it. Are you sure? You sound like you're hesitant.
I'm positive.
Final answer.
Da-da-da. Da-da-da. Yeah.
Positive.
Speaking of Andreas Perea, I think, do we want to transition into call-ups before we call this a podcast?
Yeah, go for it.
He was the latest, as Cleon said, to be called into the U.S. men's national team camp for next Wednesday's friendly against El Salvador in Fort Lauderdale. He is joining fellow teammates and first-timers Daryl DK and Chris Mueller, who have all reported for camp and will be foregoing the purple for red, white, and blue in South Florida next coming Wednesday. And I must say, that is news that was released less than 24 hours after we lost, and definitely softened the blow of that heartbreak. And it was just so nice to see. The news for Mueller and DK came first. Perea actually was called up as a last minute substitute for another player that was tested positive for COVID, so a speedy recovery to them. But it's so exciting to see so many Orlando City players called up at once, even if it's for a MLS heavy roster. And this is, just for a little fun fact, technically the first time Orlando has been represented in the men's national team since Dom Dwyer. But before that, we had the likes of Brett Shea.
But none of them were on the team, the national team, when they were on our team, though.
Shea was.
No. Dom was in the Gold Cup right after he was added to our team in 20.
Yeah, and Dom was.
You sure? I know. Yeah, I thought Dom. I thought they sent Dom back from. Or that was World Cup qualifying, right? You're right. Okay.
It was World Cup qualifying and the 2017 Gold Cup.
Yeah, because I remember
when he was on our team.
I gotcha. Because they sent him back, and Vermees was like, I didn't ask for him back. And the national team coach was like, yeah, you guys asked for him back. And Vermees was like, no, we didn't. And then they ripped us off, you know.
Well, the funniest thing is technically the first goal he ever scored for us was in the 2017 All-Star game. The trade had just been made. He had never actually taken the field for us. And he scored as an Orlando City player in the MLS All-Star game. And then he got called up after that and had only played for us a handful of times. And he got called up and represented that. But like I said, prior to that, it was Breck Shea. This is by far the most call-ups we've ever had for the national team. And it's the youngest players we've ever had called up. And it's so exciting. Eddie, you highlighted it earlier in the day. It's, what was it, 2 draft picks and a loanee?
Yeah, and 2 20-year-olds. But Barrera just turned 20. And, you know, Mueller's still young. And, you know, come to Orlando. People are looking, man. People see it. People see us.
And it'll be interesting to see what Uncle Greg does with these players. He was quoted as saying he was excited to work with Daryl DK. And this just goes back to the fact of the matter that he's a problem. He's young. He's going places. And we're just lucky to have him when we do, because once his raw talent gets channeled in, and there's nobody in this league I would rather have to channel it than Oscar Pereira right now, which is just a crazy sentence to say at the end of a season, our season, about a coach training a young player. But he's going places, and I don't think this is just we've got a match being played in South Florida. South Florida doesn't have any good men's U.S. qualified players. Let's go get a couple of those from that other team up in Central Florida. This is a reflection of the season that Orlando City has had with the number of young players that Orlando City has that can represent the nation and give a potential evaluation for players that can maybe come in for support during the Gold Cup, come in for support during the World Cup qualifying, or get noticed by European clubs. We've talked about it in the past on this very podcast that Daryl DK and as much as I don't want to say it, Chris Mueller, they keep playing the way they're playing, they're going to get calls from Europe. And when they go to Europe, they're just going to be more appealing to Greg Berhalter and the United States men's national team. So get them while they're young, get them while they're still able to be impressionable into this team. And who knows, this could just be the start of a very long stretch of young players coming from Orlando, and these guys and these 3 great players we're lucky to have playing for the men's national team. So it's exciting. It's great news to see after such a disappointing end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. No one
deserves it more.
Yeah, all 3 of them are well-deserved. DK gets he could choose between the U.S. or Nigeria, where his family had played, his sister and brother. If he gets cap-tied, and it has to be a competitive game, right, Alex? He gets cap-tied.
Yeah, this is not a cap-tied match.
Yeah, this is just a friendly, and they didn't camp. And Andres Perea is not filing, switching any paperwork to switch, you know, from, because he was playing with the Colombia U-19s, I believe.
U-20, I think.
U-20, yeah, U-20. He was playing with the U-20. And he's not following a switch. He's just going to go to check out the camp, just like the Ephraim fella from LAFC, from the Galaxy is doing. So hopefully they both stay, and though they both got great promising futures. Orlando's not a club that's going to spend a ton of money, so we're going to have to, you know, say goodbye to some folks and build from there and just hope to continue to build and turn these assets into more assets. And the more attention they get on a national scale, then the better it is for us, for the future, for them as individuals. We'd wish them, you know, Godspeed and success wherever they go. And then also for sellable assets. That's just how football works. You gotta recycle and just keep building. Cleon, you got anything for that? The national team?
Nah, that's it for me. Seattle just advanced on the back of Shane O'Neill.
1-0 Shane O'Neill goal, huh?
1-0
Yeah.
Shane O'Neill clean sheet and a game winner to get to the conference finals. Wow. Cleon, were you asking about who else would you resign, or just you're talking about the loan guys?
Yeah, resign. I said that, but now that I'm looking, it's not very many people that we would need to resign.
Mm. Who would they be?
I'm not 100% positive, but possibly Tesho. Did he sign a 1 year?
I thought he signed two years.
It seemed like he signed two.
I say begrudgingly. I think it was two.
Yeah. No, wait, I'm glad. He's cheap.
Wait, but wouldn't this be the second?
No. He signed the second one this year.
During MLS's back, he signed something. Right,
yeah,
he
signed to like extend. Like he still, I don't think that whatever he signed even took into this year. I'm not sure if he signed a 1 year. I think he signed a 2 year or a 1 year of an option. So whatever he signed starts next year. So I still think he's got 2 years to left. Not like 1 year.
All right. Well, as far as contracts go, the only one up in the air is the only big one up in the air at this point is Chris Mueller. I'm not sure what his situation is. I'm not sure what his contract is. I saw some places, but it's probably incorrect that his contract ran out this was his final year, but it was probably just one of those option situations like the Kyle Larin. Don't want to bring them back up, but so I mean, it's possibly just him. Yuri, I'm not sure what Yuri was signed to, so he's possibly a free agent. Regardless, he would probably be one of my people unprotected anyway.
Doesn't mean they
would take him, but I would definitely leave him exposed because I'm not leaving one of those young bucks exposed.
Yeah, well, Cleon, I got the Tesho answer. He got an extension through signs a contract extension through 2021, including options available for 2022 and 2023. So next year.
So it's a 1 year. It's a 1 year with options.
That's it. Yep.
Okay. So he's definitely here next year, unless he gets pulled up in the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. Dom, we already went through that. I'm not rehashing that one.
But we don't have to protect him because his contract's expiring, right?
We're not protecting him.
No, but, no. If he was here, we'd have to because of no trade clause that he supposedly has. You have to. Those are automatically protected.
His contract's over.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. His contract's over. That's just his rights are still here, but his contract is done.
I gotcha.
So we're not protecting him. That's ridiculous. Let me see. We have nobody really important, bro. Like Robinho, I'm pretty sure that one's gone. I'm pretty sure he's out of here. Brian Rowe, I guess that's a little questionable. Did we bring him back?
Why not? But I mean, he's a good backup. He's not nothing wrong with him for his role, but
there's nothing wrong with him, but not
for the right price.
Yeah. For the right price, and he's not expensive, and he fits here, and he's got a kid, and. And he, you know, he's a pro, so.
At some point, we need to give Mason the chance to be.
It's never happening, bro. That's never happening.
I don't even know if he's good. I don't even know if he's good or not.
Give him a chance. Such a good story. Plus, we don't have to protect him. That's the other thing that everyone keeps forgetting. We've got four teams expanding over the next 3 years. We're going to have to worry about this a couple of times.
Yeah, but it's not like we're going to worry about if he gets picked up or not.
Exactly. Anyway. I'm not really worried about protecting him, man, you know, to be honest.
I mean, but it would be nice to be able to not have to worry about protecting our primary and backup goalkeepers. I mean, I don't think...
That's only if you value the backup goalkeeper, though. Like, I don't think...
It's
a nice story, but I don't think we value him that much. Like, if he was to get selected, I don't think we're going to care. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds harsh, but I mean, it just is what it is. Like, he's not gonna be a backup. I'd be shocked as well. Not like Dom shocked, but he's not gonna start here.
Is Dezart a 1-year deal or?
I doubt that. He's probably those second rounders. They normally have like just contracts with options after option after option. I'll be surprised if we didn't pick his option up as much as Oscar liked to use him. So I'll be very surprised if they didn't pick up his option. Which
how about Kamal Miller?
A minimal.
He had 11 appearances this year.
Yeah, he did. Dezart. He had several starts.
Dezart got minutes, bro.
Yeah, he did.
Dezart got minutes.
He did. Kamal Miller. How about Kamal Miller? I mean,
and Miller DeJohn. Gets renewed.
Yeah. He's definitely. I would say they're definitely
Miller. Pick him up. Yeah.
He's only.
They're both.
People got to remember. I don't know why, but I think people forget Kamal Miller's age. But Kamal Miller's is going to be 23 next year, so it's like he's a kid, bro.
He's improved. He was useful. I mean,
he's a kid. He's a kid.
I would keep him for sure.
Yeah, like we have a bunch of 23-year-olds. Like we got Sebas, who is another dude that's a lot younger than we think. Like Sebas is just going to be 23. When the season starts.
Now I'm getting all excited again because we don't have to make on paper we don't have to make that many changes and we can from here.
Like next going into next season, look at the youth we have on this team. We have Mendes who's 23, who's 23. IS will be 24. He'll be 24 when the season starts next season, so he's young as well. Sligo's he'll be 23. Mueller will be 24 if he's here. Perea will be 20. Alvarado will be 21. DK will be 20. Jao will be 23. Benji will be 23. Kamal Miller, 23. Like, we got dudes that are younger than this, but these are, like, the guys that play. Like, these are the dudes that are in the 18. Like, we have some youth in the 18.
Yeah.
So, while a lot of people focus on, like, Nani's age or whatever, we only have a handful of guys that are even – above 30. We have Nani who's going to be 34. We have Perea who will be 31. Urso will be 32. And Pedro will be 30 next year.
Yeah, and 30 for a goalkeeper. Yeah, 30. And Urso, man, that guy's iron lungs. Urso's got.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Urso's going to be like those old guys who's like, he's like in the India League when he's like 42. Yeah.
But other than that, we just had Brian Rowe. He'll be 32. And then, Dom, he won't be here, but he'll be 30 wherever he'll be. He'll be 30.
Are we going to put money on that at this point?
That is Dom's middle name at this point.
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to take money from y'all, but I'll tell you this. If Dom Dwyer gets re-signed to this team, I will put it on, what do they call those things, fleets now or something?
Yeah. No. You're going to buy Alex something from Manscaped using our code.
And paint me with clown. You could paint clown makeup all over my face if Dom Dwyer is in purple next year, bro.
You heard it here first, everybody.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, right now, it's like his middle name.
I know y'all blame me from the guarantees, and you said the guarantees are a jinx, but this one ain't no jinx. Write it down. Take a picture. I promise you, it's a lock. He will not be here. It's a lock.
And you have the Dom. Middle name is Dom. I promise you, he won't be back here. Dwyer for you.
Exactly.
Every time you say Dom, you say that caveat.
Yeah, bro. So that's what we're rolling with next year. That's not even counting like all the homegrown kids and stuff like that, because none of them really factor in yet. But yeah, this team's there's a lot to be excited about, bro. This team's young. We got Nani at the top end, who's got a little age on him, and Mauricio, who's only 31. Whatever, and Urso is 32, but these guys are young, man. So yeah. I would expect them to be even better next year.
Mauricio turns 31 in March, actually.
Hmm? Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. By the time the next season starts, he'll be.
Yeah, 31. look, we got how many of these young kids got valuable minutes this year, right? With this crazy schedule?
Except for the dudes that transferred in, IS and Alvarado.
Yeah, for sure.
But even then, IS had a year, bro. Like, it wasn't all with us, but I mean, this was his season. He played 1,459 minutes, 13 goals, 1 assist. That's 0.86 goals plus assists a game, bro. That's the highest in our team. Next after that is Benji at 0.75.
I'm excited. I forgot he was signed, not alone, for a bit there, you know? So, yeah. Well.
I thought this was going to be like a sad funeral dirge of an episode, and honestly, I'm more excited than when I logged on, because guess what? We have something to look forward to, and we're 3 months from March 1st, and
and we're going to have a DP spot open, because guess what? Dom Dwyer will not be back here. I guarantee it. So if you're excited now, I would be very excited to see if we fill that third DP spot.
Exactly.
And Cristiano
Ronaldo. Hey, get in. CR7.
Here we go.
If I'm yeah, for my goodness. That'll be ridiculous. But let's
dream
that.
I'm moving my
dream. Big. You're dreaming for Mario Balotelli?
Along with this team's rise, I'm now rising my dreams. It's gone from Mario Balotelli. So now I believe like Mario Balotelli's not big enough to be on this massive club. So now I had to raise my standards, and now I'm expecting Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh man, I love it. Well, guys, I think
3 years from now, not 3 years. I'm talking about this year coming.
Oh my goodness, that would
bring it to
his shirt. His shirt sales in one day would pay off the stadium debt.
It'll be done. Flavio, get it done,
brother. Hey, get it done.
If you need help with that contract, give me a call.
There you go.
I got some ideas.
You got free time, and we got some sponsorship ideas too. Just hit us up. But today, I think Alex and Cleon, I think we're feeling better because it was some closure, right? We got the game. We talked about it. We broke it down, and we threw it in the ground and covered it up with some dirt. And you know what sprung forth from there? Some flowers, a little stem, a little bud. It's cutting through, right?
So beautiful purple flowers.
Yep, little beautiful purple bouquet. It's coming up off the ground, you know, ready for spring, ready for the new season, and to blossom into this new future. So I'm feeling good too, man. Yeah.
You can feel good. Hey, y'all got any last words for this funeral edition?
Let's no poppy, no party still, but also how about we try to play a couple games without a red card? That'd be cool. I miss those days. Two in a row.
Yeah. Remember when we went so many games, like half the season without a red card? Those were the days.
Yeah, those were the days. And you know what else was the days? There were days when we used to be trash, when we used to be the laughing stock of the league. And guess who's the laughing stock of the league now? You, Atlanta United. Oh, you thought Atlanta. I forgot about you. You thought I forgot about you. No. It was no laugh. I didn't see y'all in my mentions when we got eliminated. You know why? Because y'all are bottom barrel trash. Just like I told you at the beginning of the season, bottom barrel trash. I told you you're going to need all 10 spots, and you probably still won't make it. And guess what? You didn't. You still didn't make it with 10 spots. Just like I said, I told you when Joseph Martinez got hurt, I said you were going to find out how the other half lived. And you called me a liar. But guess who wasn't lying? Me. I told you were trash, and that's what you were, because we know who you are. You got exposed, and guess what? Joseph's going to come back next season, and you know what? You're still going to be trash. You're still going to be bothering, and you should have stepped on us when you should have finished us off when we were down, and now we're on top. And guess what? We're savages. We're not going to let up. We're not going to let up. We're not like you. We're not going to let up, because we were born in the dark. Born into it. So, just like we finished on top this season, we're going to finish on top next season. But you know what? We're not coming for fourth place. We're not coming for third. We're not coming for second. We're coming for the top spot.
Everything.
So all of you, that's your warning. This was your warning shot. 2020 was your warning shot. We warned you in MLS's back. Then we warned you during the season. Then we warned you until we beat ourselves. We didn't even get beat. I almost want to recount like your boy. I'm not even going to say his name, but I almost want to recount. I almost want to recount. Count it back. Count it back. Count it back. Because we beat ourselves. I don't believe you. I don't believe New England beat us because they didn't. We beat us. The only team that could beat us was us. So get in line below us because that's where the line starts. So I hope you're ready, Atlanta United. I hope you're ready, trash Miami that stays in Fort Lauderdale, spending up all that money and still trash. How does that feel? God, David Beckham. What a disappointment. We waited for you for how long, David? How long did we wait for you, David? All this time for, and you rolled out that trash? Really? How long, bro, how long were they on the clock? How long were they on the clock for? 7 years? Seven? Seven to not make a 10-team play-in spot? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, they did squeak in, but then they got rolled by Nashville.
Yeah.
Nashville.
They couldn't even get a shirt sponsor. We can't even start our
shirt sponsor, bro.
We can't start it. We got five sponsors.
Home white jerseys looked like a bunch of stinking Hanes.
You didn't even get a shirt sponsor all season. Yeah. How sorry are you?
Guess what?
We'll see you next year. We'll see you next year. And whoever else is coming for us, just remember, it's over for you. It's a wrap. You had your shot. You had your chance. You didn't do the job. Now it's our turn. So we're out. Later. No DK. No party. No Poppy. No party.
Vamos, shout out to Orlando.
How you doing out there, brother? I don't even know how you're doing, but good look for you.
There you go.
No Perea. No party.
All right, fellas. I like it. I'm going to lend it right there.
COVID couldn't even stop us.
Thanks for listening to the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Until next time, be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook and at OrlandoLionsDen.com.